The question that's dominated, as we saw so many COVID deaths at New Jersey nursing homes, has been how? Well, thanks to an investigation by Charlie Style and Dustin Asiopi with the recordnorthjersey.com, that question has finally been answered. I'm going to share some of what they found in their extensive coverage of this. For years, we've had hospital workers pleading with the state government to set increased staffing levels in the law. They were warning of a dangerous environment for New Jersey's patients as well as healthcare workers. Despite the campaign for better staffing, New Jersey hospital industry has been routinely outmaneuvering the frontline workers in the state house. Well, really, it all counts when you get down to it. From staffing levels to immunity from lawsuits to protection from property taxes, state's largest hospitals, and this is the key now, the New Jersey Hospital Association. With their really strong connections to state government, they have been successfully working to protect the hospitals from policies that at least they fear could hurt, right, the bottom line. It's all about the money. And the influence has become most glaring, the most critical time for the industry. COVID-19 just rocketed through the healthcare industry, strained resources, led to combined in nursing homes and around the state, 25,000 deaths in New Jersey, made New Jersey the fifth most of any state in the country. Some of the examples. Even as COVID-19 ripped through nursing homes, the Hospital Association fought efforts to require higher staffing ratios. Research has shown more staffing may have slowed transmission, probably would have saved lives. The Hospital Association, which was led by a former state health commissioner, so obviously they know the inner workings of how the state works, or doesn't as the case may be, and Virtuer Health, also lobbied political leaders to keep healthcare worker deaths and cases of COVID-19 away from you, the public view. During the deadliest days of the pandemic, the industry lobbied for a law that shielded hospitals from patient lawsuits. The immunity measure, which remains in effect, by the way, that blocks families from any legal recourse until well after the emergency has passed. And it was just a few weeks ago, years of lobbying by the industry paid off with the governor as he signed a new law reinstating a property tax exemption for hospitals. That was after a landmark court ruling had said modern nonprofit hospitals are essentially legal fictions and should pay taxes. When you look at the financial side, as far as hospitals are concerned, 41% of hospitals in New Jersey did not earn enough revenue to cover operating expenses. This was through September of 2020, nearly double the 22% of hospitals running in the red a year ago. When it came to shaping plans for lockdowns, reopenings, other key policy decisions, Governor Murphy reached out to a slew of hospital executives to play a role in all of that. Kathy Bennett, a former health commissioner, who is now president and chief executive officer of the New Jersey Hospital Association, was a regular presence at the state's command center to help with the response by the Murphy administration to the outbreak of the coronavirus. Groups supplied the daily hospital data for the state health department's COVID-19 dashboard tracking the virus's spread. Now the member hospitals run the state's 6 mega vaccination sites, as well as smaller ones. That's all come as a benefit, too, for the industry. In addition to its policy achievements, audit found the administration prioritized hospitals over long-term care facilities for things like protective gear and other supplies. So we know how that worked out with nursing homes and veteran centers. Department of Health regulations do require staffing minimums in certain hospital departments, but health worker advocates have said they're not closely followed, and state law should set uniform standards. A large body of research is showing that the fewer patients a nurse or nurse's aide cares for, the more care time the patient receives, obviously, which can lead to fewer deaths and less transmissions of, things like the coronavirus. Hospitals have an interest in nursing home policy, too. The Hospital Association also represents about 180 rehab centers and nursing homes. That's according to their own website. And Hackensack Meridians Network includes several long-term care facilities that had high rates of COVID deaths. There's an advocacy group, it's called Families for Better Care. They've given New Jersey a big F rating, ranked it 45th nationwide for its understaffing at nursing homes. State had one of the worst COVID outbreaks, as you well know. I certainly have done what I could to keep you informed of this. Over 8,000 residents of long-term care facilities have died, and as well as healthcare workers in those facilities. Yeah, lawmakers did not pass legislation to better staff nursing homes until it was too late. Some still voted against it. Oh, by the way, although past attempts to stall the staffing bill in nursing homes had been successful, spread of the COVID virus through nursing homes pushed the majority of lawmakers, as well as the governor, to finally act. He signed the bill back in October. Murphy's approval was seen by experts and advocates as, well, a partial victory, since hospitals still do not have minimum staffing standards and the law. Last spring, as the pandemic threatened to overwhelm hospitals, lawmakers moved quickly to shield them from the criminal and civil immunity. There were concerns that healthcare professionals could face decisions like choosing whether one patient should be hooked up to a ventilator over another. The governor signed an executive order, which is still in effect. It makes them pretty much immune from lawsuits. Similar measures have been passed in 12 states, but in New York State, as an example, lawmakers last month repealed their COVID legal liability protection granted to nursing homes and hospitals. They also capped nursing home profits, by the way, as well as putting in regulations on how much long-term care facilities must spend on resident care and staffing. So will the Democrat-controlled State House in Trenton follow that lead? My advice, do not hold your breath. We have a change in the demographics as far as who is being admitted to hospitals in New Jersey with the coronavirus. Percentage of those patients who were under 60 years old jumped to 49% of all admissions for COVID-19. This was last week. That's a pretty big increase from December, when our group represented about 35%. Shows two trends for health officials, which are worrisome. We can use that as a word. The spread of more contagious COVID variants and younger unvaccinated people who still don't want to wear masks, still want to gather in larger groups than they safely should be. And as of last week, 75% of those 80 and older had received at least one dose of a COVID vaccine. 80% of those between 65 and 75 had done the same, which puts New Jersey right there with the national trend. The number of seniors hospitalized has dropped by 80% since mid-January. 80%, yeah. That's according to the CDC. And the rate of seniors being hospitalized dropped below that of 18 to 64-year-olds nationally around March 20th, again from the CDC. And this all explains why the senior death and infection rates have dropped to the point where nursing home restrictions are being relaxed. So there's actual face-to-face contact now with loved ones, and that helps huge, big time psychologically, not just physically. And of course, on the flip side, we have more non-seniors who are now stuck home watching Law and Order reruns until the clear virus isolation time.